This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
How does that sound to you? Those radio play-by-play calls, Texans, Chiefs, we're on the eve of the season.
Ready to go. And the beauty of it is I get to see highlights when it's over. You know, I get to see, I guess it would probably be Neil and Stan out west by the time the game is over.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, they were on last night, yep.
Yeah, so you would see the highlights of Deshaun or highlights of Pat Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, exciting.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. All of our guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Paul Feinbaum, who will be here in 10 minutes to weigh in on a very curious decision made by Oklahoma head football coach Lincoln Riley. If you haven't heard about that, hang tight. We'll talk about it with Paul now in just 9 minutes. He's getting a lot of eyebrows being raised for the decision he's made down in Norman. The decision to play the NFL season is one that did not come lightly. The NFL does have a chief medical officer, Jay, and Dr. Alan Sills, and right now it's all systems go. Earlier this morning, we were joined by Dr. Myron Roll, who played in the NFL, played at Florida State, was a Rhodes Scholar, and is a current resident at Massachusetts General Hospital, and he essentially told us we are completely losing sight of our priorities if we're deciding to go with the NFL tomorrow night.
The idea that a pandemic, COVID-19, is being used as sort of a political tool to divide people on one side or the other, when the medical community, people in my hospital, people who have been on the front lines, have been working incredibly hard to expeditiously find vaccines, therapeutic regimens to kind of thwart this disease, where providers have been taking care of people in the ICU and acute care setting. The medical community has been doing its job, but unfortunately, COVID-19 has been used as sort of like this play tool to sort of divide people on different sides. And then again, you have the NFL that's in the business of making money, wants to continue this product. So I think they're going to try to do everything they can to keep the season going. But I've been skeptical from the beginning. I think it's going to be dangerous. I don't think it's going to be completed. That's just my conservative medical opinion. And unfortunately, the collateral damage is going to be players, coaches, staff, family members. We're all going to suffer from it. I think we should just pause, allow this pandemic to be curbed, and continue to allow the medical community and the wonderful researchers and the brilliant minds who are at the front line trying to get and sort this thing out the opportunity to do so.
By the way, he said that's his conservative medical opinion.
Right.
That he doesn't think we're going to finish the season. So it's I just think it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, once again, with the social climate, what will NFL players choose to do as it relates to the anthem? How will they protest? Will things like that carry on? Will they carry on the conversation? Is a question key that both you and I have talked about. And then how will you finish completions of seasons, you know, with COVID and everything happening right now? Obviously, you know, contact tracers and things of that sort. You want to make sure that you can contain it as quickly as possible. But, you know, Myron brings up a very valid point about the collateral damages of just not players, coaches and staff, but family members as well. If players do catch COVID, we've already seen that to a degree.
Yeah. And I think that the message will continue to be sent out by the players. Now, how they make a decision to protest while they're playing, I don't know what that's going to be, but I can guarantee you they're going to do it. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, they realize what's at stake here. In terms of the COVID situation, you know, I've always been against playing, much like Dr. Myron Roll said. Let's just let this thing play out so we can get all the information going and we could attack it the way we need to when the vaccines come or whatever the case may be to figure out what can cure this. Much like he said, the NFL is about making money. So obviously they have a doctor that is there, a scientist that is there that understand it and know it. Meaning they work for the NFL.
Dr. Sills, yeah.
Dr. Sills. So, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, the information that the doctors with the NFL are given is given it to some degree. It's okay to do certain things if you did check all the boxes, much like Myron Rose said about fans being in the stands. If you check this and you check that box and it's this, a long laundry list of things, it's okay. That's a lot, though, right? Lot. I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
To go right. Everything's got to go right.
It's got to continue. It has to continue to go right. Because as we've seen yesterday, I forgot the exact number, but it was a large number of tests. And I think it was only one positive that came back. Now, this is before teams are traveling and a lot of moving around and things of that nature over the next couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes. You know, I want to be the first to say that I want to see football back on television. I wish I could see it in person. But I'm also afraid of what might happen. You know, that's the part that gets me, is I don't know not only in the short term but in the long term effects of what could happen.
Well, the thing that gets confusing about too, Key, is the fact that we're getting into these colder months. We're getting into fall.
Right.
You know, that's when colds happen. That's when sniffles happen. You get into flu season.
Absolutely.
And I think that is when it starts to get really, really tricky for all the travel and the frigid conditions that you end up playing in. And
what's so crazy is, like I asked Dr. Rowe when he was on with us, we do all this other stuff outside of sports, right, Z? My wife brought this up the other day. She goes, we're sitting right here on the edge with no mask on eating, and we're right on the edge because we're sitting out, you know, on the street, basically. Mm-hmm. But there's people walking by us.
Right.
And so it's like,
no masks
on. No mask on. And we're sitting. And so it's like, okay, And she had a point. She goes, and then there's silverware, not plastic. And who knows if the dishwasher is really washing them at the level that he needs to. So it's like, you get all this sort of communication in your brain, start to think what ifs, you know? And so you just kind of, I guess, hope and pray for the best.
It's the six words that everybody are using. We're resigned to this, learning to live with it, right? I mean, this is not going away anytime soon. So we've got to adjust. We've used the word adjust this morning, but all of us have just kind of learning to live with it now.
I hear you. I mean, it doesn't stop me from going out into the world. I try to be as judicious as possible. But those same situations that Key just alluded to, like, it kind of has you walking on pins and needles to a degree, right? It has you walking on eggshells, excuse me. And like, that's the thing that kind of makes it confusing. You know, there's so many factors that go into it. You can try to be as prudent or judicious as possible. And I know people that have been, but still caught COVID. Right.
No question about it. But think about it, though. I'm sitting at a restaurant on a crowded street.
Right.
And I'm on the edge and people are walking past me with no mask. And you sit there and you're saying, OK, things could be in the air. Who knows what it is? We're going through elevators. We're walking up and down the streets. I got to pump gas. I got to touch the thing. Is it really? You know, they say, well, one minute it was the hands. And it was like, oh, don't worry about the hands.
Right.
It's the cover your mouth. And it's like, OK, so. When do we know, and who do we learn from? Because every single medical expert has a different opinion.
That's the question. Who do we learn from?
Who do we learn from?
And with the NFL, it's only going to be Dr. Sills. And what's interesting, too, is the corollary. When the NBA put out that 133-page manual, this is what you need to do to survive in the bubble, they also admitted you could be totally reckless, ignore every rule in the book, and not get the coronavirus. Yeah. So you could follow every single rule.
And still get it.
And still get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, look what's happened in baseball. I mean, there have been teams that have gotten in baseball. They've had to stop. And then, you know, you quarantine for a while, then you get back in action. So I know football, there's exponentially more players on a football team. That's the one thing that makes it a little bit questionable because of the amount of people.
But I'd rather follow the book.
I'm with you.
Than not follow the book. I'll take my chances, follow the book before not.
Yeah, and no cliff notes there. Read the entire book because it's your life that's on the line. It's our favorite time of the week. Our favorite guest, he's been with us pretty much every single week, Paul Finebaum, who's been covering the great sport of college football for 40 years, is joining us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's great to have him here this morning. Paul, first things first, Lincoln Riley. All he does is pump out Heisman finalists, college football playoff appearances. But there might be a demerit here in the column. They open this week against Missouri State, does OU. And Coach Riley, I want you to listen to this real quick. on exactly what he's planning to do with players that may be diagnosed with the coronavirus in terms of a public-private relationship.
We're to the point now where we're playing games, and obviously any active case or contact trace is going to have game repercussions. And so, you know, just like, you know, we would with an injury, we're not going to, you know, we made the decision to not broadcast that. I know we'd been probably the most transparent school in the country up until then, but you don't want to give your team a competitive disadvantage, so we're not going to do that.
Paul, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, he's right about one thing, and only one thing. He has been one of the most transparent coaches in the country, and that's what makes it so utterly unbelievable that he would do this type of U-turn. And, you know, I understand competition. We all do. And I don't think a lot of coaches are going to be different if they don't have to be. Dabo Swinney has echoed his comments. But you know, it really sends the wrong message. And I'm not trying to be a public health official here. But, you know, he is trying to construct or correlate COVID to an ankle injury. And it's not. It's a public health concern of epic proportion. It's a global pandemic. I don't think anybody needs me to say that after what we just got through hearing from Keyshawn eating on the streets. But the point is, college football coaches, pro football coaches, coaches of all means, of all ages, are going to try to find a competitive advantage. And that's really the concern here, because who knows what is going to go on over these next 4 months. Coaches are already complaining about contact tracing. Lincoln said it the other day that he had a player missed almost 28 days of practice and he never tested positive. So as a result, you're going to hear college coaches say, you know, any way I can get around this, I am going to find a way around it.
Paul, let me ask you this, though. So Lincoln said that, and he equated it basically to, like you said, to an ankle injury. Now, being a player, I don't want to disclose my injuries for whatever reasons, because I don't want people tugging on me or whatever the case is. This is something totally different, like you said. Do you think, and this is just me, that he doesn't want to disclose it because he still wants to keep the player playing? Or is it so that no one can get an advantage on them?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. And the one thing we don't know yet, and I mean, every time I talk to a league official, they talk about the protocols, but there's so many interpretations of these protocols. Tennessee the other day did not have a scrimmage because 44 players were out. They all didn't have COVID. Very few of them did. Guess what? Monday they had a practice. Most of those guys were back. So I don't really know what's going on. I do know that the contact tracing is driving coaches crazy right now, because you know we are now in the season. And what I mean by that is everyone won't play for 2 weeks, but we're now in the moment where if you start getting cases, it's going to affect you. And I think we saw a little bit of that, Key, on Monday night where, I mean, we saw just an awful football game on the side of Navy. And the reason why is they didn't do any hitting. They were very protective of their players. And it, quite frankly, boomeranged on them. And I just don't know. And I really am at a loss for words. And I don't want to just throw this blanket over all of college football. But I think there are plenty of opportunity for coaches to take advantage of the situation. And we all four believe, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think I can, certain coaches will. You better believe it.
Mm. Paul, the fact that you acknowledge that is, shocking. Do you think, shouldn't the league or leagues have some kind of standardized protocol? Because you would think that they may not disclose it to their opponent, Paul, but they would still have to disclose it to the school, the university, correct? Like, shouldn't there be a university official kind of mandating and kind of watching over all this?
Jay, here's where college football is on its own island. The NCAA has an advisory committee, which means nothing. And every college, every conference, in this case, the Power Five are the three of the Power Five that are still playing, have their own protocols, and they're not universal. I mean, I think within the leagues they are, and yes, there are specific protocols, but they're also interpretive, and I think it's going to be up to the coach and the trainer and the medical staff to make certain determinations. And I am not ready to start making accusations, but Lincoln Riley gave us the first clue. that this is a competitive game, and you don't want to have you don't want to go up against Texas with half your team back in Norman. And I'm not suggesting, but in no way, that Lincoln Riley would put a player's life in jeopardy or health in jeopardy. But I also know how a lot of these coaches feel about COVID. They look around, they see players getting it. They have minimal problems, virtually no hospitalization. So therefore they look at it like it's the cold. And I'm not here to say they're right or wrong. I have no earthly idea other than the same information that we all get every single day, all day, every day. But that's the ones I have spoken to are not taking it as seriously as the public health officials, I can assure you.
I don't know if I asked you this before, Paul, or not, but what will it take for one of these conferences to just shut it down? Like, what is it going to take?
Yeah, I think we all know what it's going to take. It's going to take a cataclysmic episode. And let's hope it doesn't happen. Nobody wants to see a player get in trouble. But Jay, you and Key have played sports for a long time, and you've either witnessed it personally or know someone who has, a situation where a perfectly healthy player ended up in very bad shape or maybe even worse, and because you just don't know the underlying conditions. And I think that's the scary part of this. I think we've had a pretty good run so far. And, the NFL, as you guys have noted, has really been amazing. But as Key also said, they haven't gotten on a bus to go to the airport yet. And they haven't flown anywhere. And they haven't spent the night in a hotel. And they've been very careful. But in college football, it will take a bad episode. And I think if that happens, there are a lot of college presidents who are going to call the AD and the football coach and go, I told you so. We shouldn't have done this. And I think a lot of presidents are skeptical, but the political pressure from below and from around is immense. I heard the governor of Michigan today in an interview saying that she agreed with she's a big Michigan fan, but she agreed with the Big Ten because there are politicians in certain parts of the country who don't want to see anyone go anywhere, and then there are politicians and others who don't think it's a big deal to show up without a mask and no social distancing. So the politics of your region are dictating what we are about to see.
That's a very fair point. The governor of Michigan is Gretchen Whitmer. We should also mention the two Big Ten schools in Michigan. Michigan and Michigan State are both led at the very top by medical doctors. I don't think there's a coincidence there that they don't want to play college football right now. You can see Paul every weekday afternoon, 3 to 7 on the SEC Network and on the ESPN Radio app. Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Paulie.
Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. So that is an important thing to note, as he said.
Wow.
Think about it from Gretchen Whitmer's perspective. The two state schools in her conference, in her state, both led by medical doctors. Okay, the bigger issue here I want to get to you with you guys is basically Paul saying what a lot of people are thinking, that essentially this is an end around by Riley and other coaches to potentially take advantage of the situation and turn this from an injury report into a public health crisis.
Hey, I just hope that the coaches aren't using players that's positive so they can win games. I understand what Paul was saying about the injury versus the COVID and using it like that. I get it. It's way far different. But I also understand how coaches think. Mm-hmm. They're always like, oh, somebody's watching somebody. They got the damn film, man. They can see everything you're doing. Right. You're not changing your personnel may change, but you're not changing your scheme. This is what you're going to start the season with, the same things that you've been running at Oklahoma since you took over as coach, mm-hmm. or offensive coordinator for that matter. So I kind of understand what he's trying to do. I just hope that it's not about hiding the test results to keep a guy on the field in play. I just hope that that's not it.
I pray that's not the case either as it relates to a competitive advantage. I get that. You don't have to disclose that to the other team. As long as you disclose it to your university.
And to maybe
right?
to the players on the team.
And to the players on the team, yeah. or the conference, if they're the ones overseeing it. But we do live in a country where people push the boundaries all the time. We do. And I think we have to be realistic at this. And I hope that no coach does it. But we also are talking about a lot of money on the line, coaches who potentially are in contract negotiations, or this year is maybe the last year of their deal. And we see people push the boundaries, push the limits all the time in facets of life. So as much as I hope that this doesn't happen, I'm also going to be a realist and understand that the chances of it happening are fair.
Absolutely. Are fair, you got to be real with it. And like Paul was saying, you know, as hard as it may sound, there are going to be coaches that do some things that make you scratch your head, which is putting guys out there that may have a positive result so they can win the game, which is the wrong thing to do. It clearly is the wrong thing to do. But as far as game planning and like that, they got the film. I mean, what are you really hiding? I mean, I used to always say that to my coaches when they were so worried about, oh, you don't leave your playbook here. Somebody might, like, dude, they don't know our, they've got to break down in a short time span everything that we're doing. Plus, they got to match it with the film to even be able to understand what we're doing. They got the film. They can see what we're doing. It's so panicky and paranoid. Football coach, I don't know about basketball, but football coaches are the, oh, man, they're so paranoid.
Well, there are a couple of players out that maybe you think you're preparing for and you change up your scheme, could be somewhat different. Right? You're preparing to play one set of players and all of a sudden those players aren't playing.
In certain situations, if I'm playing against a read option quarterback and then all of a sudden everything is out of the shotgun, that can change to a degree. But it doesn't take but that minute, this minute in a game to realize, oh, that guy's not playing. It's like that, Jay. Oh, yeah. He's not playing. Jay Williams is now guarding Keyshawn. Uh-oh, he's in trouble.
Ah, here you go again.
It's two athletes can never let it go. Can never let those playing days go. We should also mention—
Get off my lawn.
The old man, get off my lawn. We should also mention this is part of the reason the Big 12 has gone out and said 53 guys, 7 offensive linemen. If guys start dropping because of the COVID and guys have to be missing games and practices, they want to make sure that at least there's a minimum threshold out there before we play. You just can't go out there just because the game is scheduled.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
We're all ready to go to try to figure out, as you guys have said a million times before, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance, and you just got to have somebody and hope for the best or upgrade. So we're going to have a little fun here with quarterbacks drafted from 2016 on, a couple years in the system, right? So we don't have to make the snap judgment on them. So from 2016, 17, 18, and 19, a modicum of experience, 3 to 5 years, if you will. We're going to run through these guys, and we're going to buy or sell long-term, totally understanding sample size from some guys bigger than others. All right, fellas, here we go. Let's run it down. Buy or sell for the long-term, beginning with Jared Goff of the Rams.
I'm a buy him. Took him to the Super Bowl. Sean McVay's just got to kind of manage him a little bit, which he has done in the past, but I'm certainly buying him. I think he's a long-term solution for the Rams, because not only the contract, what else are you going to find out there that's better?
I would agree. I'm going to buy as well.
Buy as well. So Jared Goff, despite all the criticism with the big contract, they are going bye-bye. Okay, now here's a big one. This is a big year for Baker Mayfield. Woo! Fourth head coach in his third NFL season. Here we go. That's a lot to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy him. I'm not going to sell him. I'm going to put him on layaway. I want to see what Kevin Stefanski could do with him. Just sit tight for a minute. It's still early. Obviously, with Freddie Kitchens and Todd Haley and who's the other coach? Oh, Hugh Jackson. It didn't work out the way that it should have.
Yeah.
Now you just want to see what Kevin Stefanski could do with him.
No, Zubin. Don't let him change the rules of the game. There was no layaway option. It was a buy or I don't know. Don't point towards your name being first on the name of the show, Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin. No. Are you buying or are you selling Baker Mayfield? Take a stance.
No, I am taking a stance. I explained that
buy or sell.
I am putting him on layaway. And that's it.
He's the worst. He's the worst to play the game with. I would have to sell Baker considering what I saw last year. I know changes can happen for this year upcoming, but based upon last year, I have to sell.
Okay, Jay playing by the rules. Thank you.
Thank you.
Buy or sell.
Way to enforce that.
Buy or sell long term.
Go ahead.
Sam Darnold.
This is the same situation as Baker Mayfield. I don't think Adam Gase is a guy who long term is the answer, who's supposed to be a quarterback whisper guy. So when you look at the Baker Mayfield situation, you say layaway. But I've seen enough of Sam, not only in college, but great things in the pros with not a lot of weapons around him. I'm buying him because I think the next head coach that comes in will understand what to do with him and get him some damn help at the receiver position.
Now I'm confused. If layaway is an option, are you picking layaway or are you buying
him? No,
Because you said both in the same sentence.
I'm buying him.
Okay.
I explained.
I think with the talent that Sam Darnold has, the Jets have a lot of other issues, but the talent itself, I think you have to buy.
Let's go with the other New York quarterback. And since you're a Giant fan, let's just flip the script and start with you for this one. Daniel Jones.
I'm buying him. I'm wearing a Duke jacket right now. I'm talking, as Key talks about the Lakers, I'm buying Daniel Jones. Look, is he as explosive out of the pocket as you would like for him to be? No, I know he's more of a quintessential quarterback, but the amount of TDs he threw for last year was spectacular. I know he threw for a lot of interceptions as well, but with the talent, I'm buying.
Selling him all day long. I don't think he's a long-term fit in the answer. They basically got an Eli Manning clone. Eli is the champion of two Super Bowls. There's no question about it. But a lot of that heavy defense led the charge. And until they get a dominant defense like that, this style quarterback isn't going to pan out.
A guy that makes you hold your breath in a good and bad way in the same snap, Josh Allen.
Yeah, I buy Josh Allen. I do, because they have a dominant defense. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's a recipe for success at the quarterback spot. When you have a quarterback of this caliber, a guy that you don't necessarily depend on pushing the ball down the field 50 times a game.
Accuracy is the main issue. But, Kia, let me ask you, if a team didn't have a dominant defense, would you then buy Josh Allen?
Probably not. It would be too much for him to do on the offensive side.
Okay.
This one might be the quickest and easiest one of all.
No. Sell.
Sell. Mitchell Trubisky, sell.
Sold. Next question.
Moving on.
At a discount.
At a discounted rate. Put it on layaway. Get 20%.
I want him to win. I want him to win.
But
is he?
The sample size, right? They declined to pick up the fifth-year option, so you know what the team thinks about him in some ways. Kyler Murray, Key.
He's cute. That's what Key calls him. He's cute. He's a cute quarterback.
I'm going to sell Kyler Murray. I just think from a long-term standpoint, the offense, that their style with Cliff Kingsbury will not have long-term success in the National Football League. Therefore, Cliff Kingsbury will be sent packing at some point in time. The new head coach will not like Kyler Murray, and then he'll be a bounce-around guy, and that's it.
Yeah, it's always interesting for me when I hear I sit up here and I listen to you talk about football, and you're like, oh, yeah, a lot of the league is transitioning to the same way that college plays the quarterback position and offensive schemes and those things. And then Cliff Kingsbury comes in Arizona, you get DeAndre Hopkins. He signs on board. It's a big-time target for Kyler Murray. A rookie of the year. How do you not buy that? Because you don't think it's long-term going to fit? Though the metrics have proven to you that it does fit for the time being?
No, it won't. You can't. Jay, you're going to put up numbers and you're going to win 5 games a year. Is that what you want? If you want to win, if you want to put up numbers and win 5 or 6 games a year, then go right ahead, keep him.
But, I mean, you can't give credit to one quarterback for his defense and then take away the other quarterback for lack of defense, considering they haven't had
the mindset of the coaches. The coach comes in, he doesn't want to inherit your problem. So he's not going to run your same system. He likes bigger quarterbacks. He likes a faster guy. Different. You rarely see coaches come in and hold on to a quarterback that had a whole bunch of question marks coming out. They have different values and different views. Think about it. Baker Mayfield, Kevin Stefanski's already there, and people talking about, well, just make a break for Baker. That's just how this league is.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski, their first-year head coach. Let's try to squeeze as many as we can. Drew Lock, 4-1 down the stretch last year.
I'm going to buy him. I'll buy him, and because, again, that defense, even though they just lost Von Miller, that defense is retooling. I think that they feel real comfortable about him. They went out and got him some other toys in the draft, two other receivers in the draft. Along with Sutton, they got tight ends. So I like it. They got running backs. Their offensive system is clicking, and I think they'll be okay.
Mm.
I would buy Drew Lock. I still think it's going to be interesting to watch with Von Miller going out. The defense is still good defense, but I think it's going to put a lot more pressure on him to perform offensively.
We'll see him on the Monday night opener against the Titans on ESPN. It'll be the second game of the double dip. Drew Lock, by the way, from the Kansas City area, as they one day try to chase down the Chiefs. The Broncos trying to do that. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Mako. Mako's ready to fix those dents, repair that collision damage, spray on a fresh coat of paint with online estimates, contactless service, and their best price guarantee.
Man, I really wish we got to Jarrett Stidham. That would have been a
tough
one.
He's sold. Jarrett Stidham is sold. Gardner Minshew, sold. Dwayne Haskins, I'm going to buy him. Carson Wentz, sold. Sold.
Carson Wentz, sold. Carson Wentz.
Dak Prescott, bought. And Mason Rudolph, is he still in the league?
Now, how's he on the list?
I think he's still there. Duck
no,
Hodges
I know he's still in the league, but he's sold. Can't do nothing with him.
Speaking of sold, because this was sold, let me just quickly say, come to Mako and roll out refresh. Go to Mako.com to get started and find a shop near you. Uh-oh, that segment nearly turned into an auto. Uh-oh, better get Mako. Still to come. Yeah, we're talking about the guys that have dominated in the playoffs. Sure, we saw Lillard play great. We've seen LeBron play great. We've seen Kawhi and PG play great. But there's one guy out there that is synonymous with the playoffs that's played really well that no one's talking about.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tomorrow on the Shell Pennzoil Performance, I'm loaded show, guys, right? We got the start of the NFL tomorrow, college football in earnest. We got the ACC and we got the Big 12 going. James Franklin, Penn State head coach, will join us. Lou Riddick will join us, part of the Monday Night Football crew. Texas head coach Tom Herman will be here. And your old partner, Chris Berman, will join us. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Loaded, absolutely loaded tomorrow. So obviously, Jay, look, LeBron's been great. All-time playoff wins leader Anthony Davis has been great, named to the all-defensive team. We've seen other great performances from the other LA team, a couple superstars they have in the bubble. But it's the reemergence of those two words. Playoff
Rondo. So I got to give a lot of credit to Rajon Rondo. You know, a couple of days ago, when you watched the scheme that the Houston Rockets had, I did a breakdown on NBA Countdown called He With Us, right? And that's what typically you say when somebody on the opposite team that you're playing with can't really shoot the ball. So when they catch the ball, a lot of players will yell, "Don't worry, he's with us," right? Saying like, "Please shoot it. You're on our team. Wow, you're helping us out," right? Now, the last two games, it's been more Russell Westbrook than game two was on the team of the Lakers, right? But watching how Rondo commands the court and watching how he plays, he gives him another bona fide playmaker. LeBron, when he feels like he's on the court, like everything revolves around LeBron. He's making passes, he's making plays, he's scoring, right? He's making AD look great. Well, when Rondo's on the court, he's doing essentially the same thing that Bron is doing. Last night he was making shots. He had 21 points, 9 assists, only 3 turnovers. That 2-to-1 turnover ratio is incredible for a guy like Rondo who's missed so much time. And you go to see how imperative he is going to be on this Lakers run due to his ability to facilitate and lead. Keyshawn, him talking to everybody is special.
If you remember when they were getting ready to play Portland, I kept saying he's going to come back. I'm not worried about him. A guy like that who's a veteran who continuously does the same thing over and over and over, this is what you're going to get. He understands the big picture. He understands it's the playoffs, the magnitude of the particular game that he's playing in. Certain guys just rise to that level. And I think it's the experience, number one. He's been there, done it before. And you see it every single time in the playoffs. I mean, that's just why he has the nickname. So I think, though, when you look at it, when they've struggled, a lot of the times it's because he wasn't there. And people say, oh, man, he's an awful shooter. Don't worry about that. It'll come around. Everything is not going to be as smooth and clean as a LeBron or an AD or maybe even a James Harden. But buckets will fall if he continues to do it, and that's what he's been doing.
Well, the basketball IQ is off the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
And the one thing that you worry about when it comes to Russell Westbrook is what pace is he playing at?
Full speed.
Because a lot of times he looks so frenetic. He's playing so fast. You almost feel like his body is moving faster than his brain is calibrating what he's going into.
Last night, I don't remember. I think it was the first quarter. Man, he shot through the cup, but he was moving so. But the ball was already gone. The ball had essentially went out of his hands. And he was like trying to make a layup. I'm like, man, the ball is in the first row.
And that's what you get as it relates to a gift for Rondo. He's always under control. He's poised. He lets the play develop. Instead of him making the play, he lets the play reveal himself, and he makes the simple play. You know, in basketball, there's this terminology that we always say, like, Zubin, if you try to thread a needle over something, I'm like, look, man, kiss. Like, kiss means keep it simple, stupid, right? Keep it simple. You hear it all the time in basketball, and that's what Rajon Rondo does. Just keeps it simple.
Yeah, and when his shot is not falling, he doesn't get shy and stop shooting. He just shoots until it falls and get in the rhythm, and he kisses. Yeah, that's what it is.
There it is.
That's what we call it. Mwah. Kissing.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, that last
basketball one. Terminology, man.
This dude's been in the league 13 years, and the thing that I wanted to kind of ask you, Jay, is because, look, in Boston, there were some
is
really
that
good
only
times.
13?
13
it feels
years.
A
in the league.
Longer,
it feels
it?
A lot longer.
Rolled in 06, 07 out of Kentucky. You know, he had some great moments in Boston, some not so great moments. Obviously, the Lakers situation is pretty new. Kind of played his way out of Sacramento, wasn't great in Chicago, had some problems in Dallas, also played with the Pelicans. What do you take? You want to say something there?
No, I was going to say in Chicago in the playoffs, he did okay, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
decent.
So 1 year there. But he's also not worked in other spots. Like, how are they making sure that they can get the best out of a guy who has sort of played his way off a couple teams?
I think Bron really helps it. Like, you know, I would hear these stories. You know, obviously, Jason Kidd is on that staff as well. So I want you to think about this for a second. There's some players you're around that can talk. I'm sure you have this in football, Key. Players that just talk schemes and you're like, yo, what language are y'all talking right now?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, that's what you'll get on the same roster when you have Jason Kidd, LeBron James, and Rajon Rondo. Like, you have elevated minds who are thinking not just what are we going to do as it relates to our first quarter possessions and what are we doing defensive scheme-wise, but also how are we activating other players that we need to activate throughout these same schemes? How do we get people involved? Like, it's every single detail in a possession, and that's what Rondo does. So I do think, look, Rondo was a different Rondo when he was with Doc Rivers and Paul Pierce and you know, Ray Allen and those teams, KKG. Mm-hmm. I think now what you get is a fine season Rondo that also understands his role on this team, but is still extremely motivated to win a championship. And I think him playing with LeBron and having Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel, who's really good at different defensive schemes, that's his bread and butter.
And,
and
he's a veteran guy.
It works well together.
You know, you mentioned stops in Sacramento. As great as you are, Zubin, and everything that you do, and as nice as you are, Sacramento would drive you crazy with those teams he was on. Think about it. In the Pelicans, he did fine with the Pelicans. Chicago, he was okay in that 1 year. So a lot of times you get the narrative set on your career, and people automatically just write and say and believe that that's what it is. Clearly, that's not the case. I remember last year being in L.A., Rondo set on the scorer's table at the end of the bench, like kind of, I don't know, it was the end of the season or something. He just sat there And they tried to make a national media try to make a huge story out of it. Why is he sitting over there? It's like, dude, he's done that a million times. Now, all of a sudden, they're having a bad year. You're trying to make it seem as though he's a problem. The Lakers aren't going to re-sign him. That didn't happen.
Well, it's interesting, too, Jimmy Butler. So, two guys, similar, interesting demeanors
right.
to a degree. Like, if you're not winning, like, Rondo's going to ask you, like, what the hell are we doing here?
That same. That's
if you
how-
ain't trying to win, if you ain't trying to compete.
I'm the same way.
Zubin, there's a difference between working hard and competing.
Yeah.
Like, I can push you to work hard. I can give you a set confine of drills to work hard. You going out and competing every day, it's a different mindset. That's what Rondo wants you to do.
Putting in all this damn work and you sitting over there being lazy.
Real quick, Celtics-Raptors tonight. Who you got?
Celtics.
I got Celtics.
Clippers-Nuggets.
Clippers.
We'll see you tomorrow with James Franklin, Lou Riddick, Tom Herman, and Boomer.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.